Hi there, welcome to Clan Chat, sponsored by Wellwood Communications, and we're moving on to the tricky stage of Operation Playoffs. I'm Craig Anderson, and after two wins over Dundee Stars last week, things are just a little bit brighter around Brayhead Clan, but they're not out of the woods yet. There are three games coming up this weekend, and we chat to Zach Sullivan about Friday's home visit by Fife Flyers, as well as Adam Brace as Coventry Blaze come to town on Saturday. We also reflect on Matt Keith's return last week, and we caught up with him after he was inducted onto the Brayhead Clan Wall of Fame. Plus, after episode 8 last week featured number 8, our former player spotlight in episode 9 turns out to be number 9 as well, as Ed McGrain joins us to look back on his year at the club in season 2013-14. I'm not doing this on purpose, I promise. And that is this week's Clan Chat. Let's begin with last week's four-point weekend as Brayhead Clan opened up a five-point gap over Dundee Stars in the overall Elite League standings and six in the Gardner Conference. Clan had lost two of their last three against the Stars, although all those games were away from home, so with Matt Keith inducted onto the Wall of Fame, the atmosphere at Brayhead Arena was certainly electric. It was a night to savour for Keith and the Purple Army as the Clan won 3-1 on the night with Gabriel Levesque tucking away a rebound to open the scoring for the visitors. That lead didn't last long as Brayhead struck with a goal on the power play, courtesy of a powerful one-timer from Landon Oslanski, before putting themselves ahead in the second period when Ryan Patulny's effort on Stars goalie Travis Fullerton caused havoc around the Dundee crease, which allowed Brendan Brooks to stick it away. Another Oslanski snipe led to another goal, but on this occasion Jacob Doughty got the final touch and it sealed a big two home points for the Clan. The night was of course all about Matt Keith, and I caught up with him after his presentation and asked what he thought of the reaction he got from the Purple Army.
Yeah, it's really special, and it brings back a lot of memories coming into the rink here, you know, tonight, and to see so many familiar faces, and it just makes you realize how much, you know, we cherished being here when we were here, and a lot of fun memories.
I've seen you around about the arena during that first period there, obviously catching up with some old faces. That must be nice. That must have been something you were really keen to do when you were here.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was, you know, a lot of people don't realize how important the fan base is and our supporters, and they do so much besides just show up to the games, and whether it's the OSC, whether it's, you know, whether it's seeing a fan in the mall one day, it's important for the players to be able to interact and to know that that's a huge part of the success of this organization. And you know, it's a sold out building tonight. It's a big thing. And it's awesome to be able to see a lot of the people that we got to know when we were here.
We were talking about the chant, you know, you're going to hear the chant again. My goodness, that the Purple Army didn't disappoint, did they?
No, I mean, they never do. That was awesome. That was something that kind of gives you goosebumps. It's a little bit awkward. You don't know what to do in that moment, right? Like, it makes, certainly, it's very, very flattering, and it was awesome to hear that.
And of course, you're going to see the fans later on as I speak to you at the end of the first period. You're going to be a busy man later, which is why I'm doing this now. I mean, you're going to be here for hours, I think.
I know, yeah. I don't know exactly what's planned, but I know that, you know what, it's one night, and I'm sure we're going to remember it, so it'll be fun.
And of course, you travel home tomorrow as well, but what's it been like being back in this area this weekend?
Well, it's just been great. Just to, you know, there's so many little things that we've done when we've been here, just bring back so many memories, like I said earlier, and it's good to see a lot of the old faces and to see people come and visit us, or to get together for a coffee with people that you don't get a chance to see, and it's been really good.
Of course, how does it feel being here as a spectator? That must be a little bit strange.
Yeah, it's different. I mean, it's awesome, right? Like, I mean, Gareth obviously had us tickets, and it's a full building, so, you know, to get to sit in there and sit with the fans and the people that have been coming for so long and supported us, you know, the teams when I was here, it's really special. It's definitely a different vantage point.
I take it that's something you'd like to do more of, you know, now that you're no longer playing the game, you'd like to come back here more often. You've got relatives here, of course, as well, maybe, you know, encapsulate that in the next few trips?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously Lola's born here, so we're going to have to come back at some point. She's going to want to come back, and, you know, it's obviously tough, like the real world stuff is with work and trying to coordinate things, but the way, you know, Gareth kind of handled organizing this and getting the flights and making it work to a degree where it could work for us, for Chelsea and I, to get away and have somebody to watch Lola and stuff. So it's been great. Obviously, in the future, yeah, I'd love to keep coming back because it would never get old.
And of course, you're here. You're immortalised. You've got that banner up on the wall. I take it that's the first time you've seen it.
Yeah, I mean, it's no, it's I saw obviously saw pictures of it. It's pretty cool to be able to see it and know that it's going to be up there. I mean, that's it's very humbling and very flattering.
Good stuff, Matt. Thanks. Good
awesome.
To see you again.
Thanks, Greg.
That was former captain Matt Keith there talking about his return to Brayhead on Saturday. Good to see him and wife Chelsea back in the building at the weekend. Clan went to Dundee for the rematch on Sunday and managed to complete that four-point weekend, digging out a 4-3 win to open up the five-point gap in the league table. The Stars drew first blood as Omar Pasha's delivery from the right was finished low and backhanded by Brian Hart to take the lead. Clan got themselves level when Jacob Doughty and Stars goalie Fullerton came together for the loose puck, which broke for Adam Brace, who scored on the wraparound. Within a couple of minutes, John Tripp's men went in front when Ryan Patulny fired in from the left and the black disc broke for Brooks at the back post to tap it in. Clan went 3-1 up in 5 minutes into the third period as Ville Hamalainen teed up Matt Haywood for the close-range finish. Then Brooks added a fourth a couple of minutes later to open up the three-goal cushion as hopes of a double weekend of wins looked very much on. Former Clan defenceman Cody Carlson scored with a rocket of a shot to close the gap to two before Hart's second pulled the Stars to within one with 6 minutes to go. Carlson was later ejected from the game late on for misconduct. There was certainly a feel-good factor about the team after such a successful weekend, which was made even better with the news that defenceman Cameron Burt had won the Elite League Player of the Week award, only the second Clan player to do so this season after Zach Sullivan, who won it back at the start of the campaign. Cameron spoke to the Elite League about it and said it was an award that was more for the team.
No, I mean, it's awesome. It's more of a team award, I think. It was a big weekend for us, and, you know, I was just happy to play, you know, good for us and helping and do my part to help us win.
As you said, it was two big wins against Dundee Stars this week. You got the win on Saturday, so how important was it to go and do the same again on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, the one on Saturday was awesome. You could just feel the energy in the arena. The fans really brought it. There was a lot building up to that game, you know, the special Matt Key ceremony and everything like that. So it was good to get that win and really get some confidence going into Sunday. And, you know, it was a tough game, and both teams battled right down to the end. You know, Ryan and I made some spectacular saves, and you know, we had some guys step up, so it was good to get 2 wins.
Was there any pressure on the Clan going into these two games this weekend because Dundee were right behind you in the standings?
I mean, obviously there'd be a little bit of pressure, but, you know, at this point you got to take it game by game and, you know, take it shift by shift. So you can't let it build up too much, and, you know, you got to try to stay even keel and prepare for each game.
And, of course, the performances from the Clan recently there's been a big improvement. You know, there's a bit more consistency. If not, maybe the results maybe haven't gone that way as well. Is there a feeling that things are starting to click for the team now?
Yeah, you know, you can see guys playing with a little more confidence, a little more swagger, and things are just coming together. And, you know, it's at a good time right now for us with the playoffs coming up. So, you know, hopefully the consistency can stay up and guys can stay at this level of play.
You talk about the playoffs, it's just a matter of weeks away before we know exactly who's going to be taking part in the playoffs. As someone who's played the game for a number of years now, is this the stage in the season where everybody really ups their game?
Yeah, I mean, this is the part of the season that everybody wants to play in. You know what's at stake and you know what it takes to get there. So it's really going to be a test of guys' mental strength. And, you know, you see the best players rise up at these moments. So, you know, I think we got the right guys in our room for it. And, you know, we'll just take it game by game, like I said.
You've got 3 games coming up this week. That's a tough run of games for you.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you have a 3-3, it's tough. But, you know, we'll take it this week and practice and prepare. And, you know, it's a grind. Every team in the league goes through it at some point. So, you know, like I said, shift by shift. And, you know, we'll prepare for it as best as we can.
And as I say, those two results at the weekend, they stand you in good stead for what's to come.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a good momentum builder for us. Anytime you can put some wins together, it's a good sweep for us. Haven't had that in a while. So, you know, we'll get that with our confidence and keep this momentum rolling.
Player of the Week, Cameron Burt, talking to me for the Elite League earlier this week. Time to don the fatigues and get ready for another battle as we prepare for the latest phase of Operation Playoffs, which has 3 stages to get through this weekend. We'll start with Friday's game as Fife Flyers come to town again for another ding-dong in the scrap for the Gardner Conference. It's a trophy Clan have held for the last 3 years and one the Flyers covet, and going into the weekend they are in pole position with 28 points, 2 ahead of Clan, but they've also got 3 games in hand. The Flyers have had a largely great season, have flirted with the upper echelons of the league table, but their recent form has saw them take an untimely dip. 7 losses from their last 10 have saw them fall away from third place that they held at one point, but they've won 6 out of 7 against Brayhead in all competitive meetings this season. Clan won 3-2 at home a couple of weeks ago to end a six-game losing run over Todd Duthiam's side, but were down 5-2 in Kirkcaldy the next night in the recent doubleheader. For John Tripp's side, a victory would set them up nicely for the other two games for the weekend, but the Purple Army will tell you a win over Fife is always good, no matter the circumstance. The players also enjoy it, as it turns out, when I spoke to defenceman Zach Sullivan about the game.
Yeah, they're definitely the best ones to play in. You know, the fans all get riled up and they're even louder than they usually are, and especially the most recent games against them, they've been really good games as well. So, yeah.
I mean, the atmosphere I've noticed is always different coming up against Fife compared to other games. What's it like to play in compared to other games?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a lot more intense. Both sets of players feed off the energy that the fans bring to the game. It's a lot more physical, and there's a lot more, you know, if you make a mistake in another game, it's not such a big thing. But in these games, you know, one little bump or one little hit or a turnover can really change the momentum, and it can really change the entire complexion of the game, and can really spur one of the teams on to win.
The Flyers have certainly had Clan's number this year. How frustrating has it been in a lot of these games this year?
Yeah, I think the first three games we played against them this year in the league, they kind of took it to us, and obviously they got the results that they definitely deserved from the performances. But I think recently, the last three or four games we played against them, they've all been tight. I know we lost in Fife, but we beat them here, and we had an overtime loss in Fife. So, I mean, while they definitely had our number towards the beginning of the season, I feel like we've been able to match up against them better recently than, obviously, the beginning of the season.
You mentioned it there. Last time Fife came to Brayhead, the Brayhead won 3-2. I got a sense of relief as well as joy, obviously, from getting that result. Was that true? Was there a sense of relief at finally beating them?
I think it was more, you know, we're fighting for every point we can get right now to try and make this playoff spot. And there were obviously two huge points, and it really got our fans behind us for the weekend. And we had the big weekend with Manchester straight afterwards. So I think it was really important for us and in our own confidence to beat a team that had been beating us so easily earlier in the season. So I wouldn't say relief, but I think it was a great foundation for us to move on in our own confidence in ourselves.
Absolutely. And that conference is getting tighter as well. Dundee have crept back into things with their recent form, but Fife have fell away in their form as well. They were third at one point, but they've fallen away a little bit. Can Clan take advantage of that?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, Dundee have been absolutely brilliant recently. Watching the highlights of their games, they're really playing well. You know, we had two really hard games against them this weekend. I think it's... I know Fife have had a couple of injuries that are quite bad injuries, and I think they've just not been having the luck of the bounces and things like that, as everyone knows happens to every sporting team in the world. So, you know, we can't take their recent form as we're gonna absolutely demolish them, or, you know, you have to take every game as it is and on the night. And I feel like this year, whoever turns up and plays better on the night between us and Fife will be the winning team.
It's the first of three games this weekend, a very tough weekend. Coventry come on Saturday, then a trip to Nottingham on Sunday as well. How important is getting that first victory on the board at the start of such a big weekend?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's, like you said, three games in three nights, and there's not really much time to go away and work on anything that could go wrong in the first game or that you can improve for the second and third game. So it's very important that you don't take a blow to the confidence going into the second and third game, and that you, like you said, you get the momentum going and you feed off energy and off your own momentum. So it's really important to get the first win, especially in a in a 3-on-3.
That was Zach Sullivan there, looking ahead to Friday's game with the Fife Flyers. Tickets are available now, of course. It's a 7:30 face-off on Friday night, but make sure you get your tickets by visiting brayheadclan.com. It's going to be another big night against the Flyers in conference action. Clan remain at home on Saturday, and they'll welcome Coventry Blaze for the second time this season, a team rediscovering some good form after a run of 7 games without a win that's hampered their playoff hopes. They snapped out with a narrow 3-2 victory over Fife Flyers last Saturday, a perfect birthday present for coach Danny Stewart, and they followed it up by beating Milton Keynes Lightning 4-3 on Sunday. But in form, Manchester Storm stopped them in their tracks as they won 4-3 over the Blaze in a midweek meeting at Altrincham. Between these two, Stewart's side have won 2 of the 3 previous meetings this season against the Clan, both of which have been in their Sky Dome home. But the last time Coventry came to Glasgow saw Brayhead win 3-1, with goals coming from Adam Brace, Ryan Pitulny and Ville Hämäläinen. I spoke with Brace about the game and put to him that the meeting with Blaze was another big game against another playoff rival.
Well, for sure. We're holding on to that 8th spot, and we're doing everything we can to get into the playoffs, and they're one of the teams chasing us, so it's a must-win for us.
I mean, as well as the conference games who carry their own importance, these are the games you have to win as well to hang on to that, isn't there?
Definitely. They've played us hard all year, and these are points at this time of the season that are hard to come by, but they're necessary.
Absolutely. And of course, a 3-game weekend, that carries its own risks as well, preserving energy and things like that, assuming you don't leave it all out on Friday. It's going to be a tough test Saturday. Coventry are a team who've started regaining some form. They went on a poor run earlier.
Yeah, I think so. You know, every game we've had against them has been close, and definitely the 3 games and 3 nights, we're not used to that playing over here. So it'll definitely be a challenge, but we're looking forward to it.
The 3-3, is that something you've experienced of prior to coming to Brayhead?
Oh, definitely, yeah. When we play back home, 3-3s are pretty much every week, so... But when you haven't done it in a while, it definitely takes used to.
Now, Coventry are a team, as you said, each game has been close in its own way. There's either been a goal in it or it's come to, you know, something in the game. How tough an opponent are Coventry from what you remember of playing them?
Well, I think they're a fairly tough opponent. I don't think their standing in the league is representative of the players they have. I think that any team in the league is capable of beating anyone, so... All games are tough this time of year.
And of course, that battle for the playoffs, that just gets more and more urgent with every week. You had the 2 games with Dundee last week, Coventry this week as well. More games to come that are going to be of equal toughness.
Definitely. No points are easy this time of year, and we're just trying to get everyone we can and make that playoffs.
What's it been like this week on the back of the 4-point weekend against Dundee? I can only imagine it's been a very positive vibe around the locker room this week.
Definitely. You know, any time that we go into a weekend like that where it's must games for us, the team right on our heels with some games in hand, and we get the 4 points, you know, it's a huge lift for us, and it gives us confidence going forward.
And you had to show a bit of character in both games as well, didn't you?
Oh, definitely. This time of year, that's where character's built.
That was Adam Brace looking ahead to Saturday's game against Coventry Blaze at Brayhead Arena. Tickets for that game are available as well. Saturday is at 7 p.m. the face-off. Get your tickets by visiting brayheadclan.com. The third of the weekend trilogy takes Brayhead Clan on the road to Nottingham Panthers as the farewell tour begins for their coach, Corey Neilson, who has announced he'll leave the club at the end of the season. Whether you like him or not, you can't argue with the record of success he's brought to the club, and we wish him well going forward, however not for Sunday, naturally. It's the last but one of the scheduled meetings between them, and Clan have won there in their only victory against Nottingham of the season so far. Last time they played each other, Panthers blanked Brayhead in a 3-0 win back in December when the Panthers came here. Their season hasn't quite gone as they would have hoped, currently sitting above Clan in 7th place in the table, with clear motivation for John Tripp and the boys to go and catch them. Face-off is at 4 p.m. when this weekend's Operation Playoffs ends in Nottingham. Right, it's time to take a step back into Clan's history and catch up with another former player, and this week we go back almost 5 years to when Ed McGrain joined the club. Although he only played for the one campaign, he made quite an impression, making 63 appearances in all competitions, scoring 29 goals and assisting in 55 to amass 84 points in a season that ended with the Clan, their first under Ryan Finnerty, reaching the playoff finals weekend. Ed spoke about his time at the club, his teammates, he reveals why he didn't return for a second season, the experience of the playoff finals, his Wall of Fame banner, but I first asked him why, and what proved to be his last move in ice hockey, Brayhead was the one for him.
Well, I remember talking to Ryan Finnerty, the coach at the time, and I knew that's where I kind of wanted to finish up. I mean, my parents are from there. All my family's from, you know, from Glasgow, and it was always kind of a destination I wanted to be. I mean, I hadn't been back since I was a little child, and I thought, you know what a great spot to kind of, you know, end my career and kind of play over there, at the same time experience, you know, the life and stuff like that. And it was just something that when he talked to me, he, you know, I went to the rink and, you know, I fell in love with the rink. It was just a top, you know, class organization, and it made perfect sense for me to jump on it as soon as the opportunity came.
Now, just to remind me on this, did your dad come over and see you through that season?
Yeah, they came over once. They actually spent more time traveling, but yeah, they came over, you know, once and kind of, you know, saw the place, and he was amazed how much it's changed, even in Paisley, just kind of the whole area, even in Brayhead, how much it's boomed and so they really enjoyed their time here. And I actually, my plan was actually, I wanted to do 2 to 3 years playing. I mean, I could have played for another, you know, 2 to 3 years, and that was kind of my goal.
Now, Ryan Finnerty, as you mentioned, was the coach. He was just going into his first season, and there have been some changes in personnel off the ice as well. Did you feel there was a sense at the time that the club were in transition at that point?
Do you know what? Not too much. I mean, when I came in, I mean, there was a lot of new ideas and stuff like that, but it was a lot of enthusiasm, which I liked. You know, there was a lot of upbeat, a lot of optimism, a little bit of unknown, but in terms of the quality and the team and the organization, it just, everything seemed very energetic, very upbeat, you know, kind of new ideas were floating around. So it was definitely a good time to be at the club because, you know, it was kind of that, you know, maybe like a new generation of, you know, younger guys and new ideas. And it was just an exciting time.
Now, I keep hearing from hockey players I speak to when they talk about their teammates, they're always a great bunch of guys, and I'm sure that's very true. But tell us about some of the personalities you shared the locker room with that year.
There was actually, I mean, it was, you know what, I've been on very few teams where I can honestly say that I got along with every single guy, and that was probably one of the teams that I could honestly say I got along with everyone. You know, fantastic. I mean, guys that, you know, that played, you know, over in North America and guys that I kind of connected to even in Scotland. I mean, Haywood was one of those guys where I connected to, you know, right away. He'd been at the club for a while and, you know, just a real genuine, nice guy. I mean, there was so many, you know, nice guys that just kind of were really, really nice and helped the guys, especially the guys from overseas, just helped them transition very well. And it was just a nice bunch of guys to get along with.
And how did you find the standard of ice hockey in the UK compared to what you'd played? And you came from France that year as well, as I recall.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot more North American style. When I was in Sweden and in France, it was very, I kind of explain it to people where it's kind of east-south, which means there's a lot of, you know, a lot of regroups, a lot of maybe slower up buildups, kind of like how it is in soccer, where there's maybe some slower buildups here and there. But in Britain, it compares a lot to the North American game where it's north-south. You know what I mean? It's quick transition. It's going your end to their end, back and forth. There's not as much buildup. So that part of it I really liked. It was a lot easier to adapt to that style of play because that was, you know, what I've done most of my career.
Yeah, the season you were at Brayhead, they finished mid-table, but they'd done markedly better than the season before, but it was the playoffs where the success came. And I'm thinking back to that quarter-final against Nottingham Panthers that comes to mind. What was it like to be on the ice on the night the final four place was confirmed?
I mean, I remember just getting chills. I remember leading up to it. It was a big deal because, you know, there wasn't a Scotland team that had been there before, and I kind of took it, you know, with a lot of pride. I mean, I played there feeling that I was born. Yeah, you know, that was my town, and I took a lot of pride in that, and the fact that I do have a Scottish background, and you know, I'm half Scottish. I have my British passport, so I took it, you know, as a pride thing as well. And being in that arena and seeing our fans there and supporting us like they were, it was, I mean, it was an awesome feeling. And to go against a team like Nottingham and, you know, a big rivalry, and then beating them to go to the semifinal, it was just a great feeling. I mean, I could not have asked for a better script, you know, and the way we went out. And I mean, I still look back and pictures that were taken and stuff. It was one of the, you know, the highlights of my career, and just the fans and how, you know, how loyal they were. It was just a great, great, great feeling.
And the weekend itself, obviously, that was at the Habfort semi-final against Sheffield Steelers. Not to be in that occasion.
It was, I mean, I still remember that game. I mean, it was, I'll never forget, it was, you know, it was a tight-knit game the whole game. I mean, and the hardest part about that game is the, you know, that the ice wasn't the best that night. And it was a battle. It was a grind. That whole game, you know, was just back and forth. And, you know, we came close, but I mean, that's how close it is. I mean, it's just a game of inches, and, you know, we just fell a little short, but it was a great experience going to the Final Four and kind of experiencing that.
And of course you had the atmosphere where it wasn't just Brayhead fans there was fans from all 10 clubs there. That must have been a bit different for you.
It really was, and it was nice to see, because you could see it in the stands. You'd look up and you'd see all the, you know, teams. You'd see Fife fans, you'd see Sheffield fans, you see Brayhead fans. I mean, it was definitely something I'd never seen before. And I mean, it was kind of weird because you could see who certain teams were cheering for, which was, I loved it. You know what I mean? I thought it was a great, you know, a great little thing. And, you know, it's just, it makes for the game, you know, to be that much more exciting, and it's so unique. And I think it's just a great way of doing things. And it just shows you the support fans have for their teams, because I mean, these fans don't need to spend their money to go, especially when their teams aren't even there, but you know, they're going to show their support no matter what. And it just shows you the loyalty there.
Now, your final game, as it turned out, was that third place game against Fife in the Nottingham weekend. It was a 7-6 game, goals flying in all over the place. It's not a game players enjoy because of the hard work's done the day before and that they weren't successful. So how hard was it to get up for that game in particular? And did you know then it would be your last game?
Yeah, at that point, I knew it was going to be, I was about 90% sure that was going to be my last game going in there. And it was pretty emotional for me because I knew it was going to be my last game. And I know that type of game, it is a hard game to get up for, because it's kind of a, you know, it means a little, but, you know, it's not that big of a deal. But to me, I treated it like, you know, it was my last game of the year and playing. And I went out there and played as hard as I could. And, I mean, it was emotional. The whole game was emotional. I remember when it went into overtime, I remember thinking to myself, man, you know what I mean? Like, this is it. So I remember going out there, and I ended up, lucky enough, I ended up scoring that overtime winner. And as soon as that puck went in, it brought tears to my eyes, because I knew that was it. You know, that's it. But I knew at that point that I could kind of go out with my head held high. And, you know, I finished on a good note and a good team. And I had no regrets in terms of the organization or where I was at that point.
Now, you said you were sure that was you as far as your career was concerned, but Ryan did try and talk you into another year. I mean, tried his hardest to talk you into another year. So how close were you to maybe going back in that decision? Did you ever come close?
Yeah, well, actually, what had happened was that summer, I was still training. And I had talked to my wife and kind of convinced her, like, hey, listen, maybe the only reason why I was going to retire was because of my kids were starting school at that point, and we kind of wanted a home base for the children. We didn't want them kind of moving around too much, especially during school. So I said, well, you know what, we can start them off at school. I looked into schools in Glasgow and stuff, and, you know, things were kind of looking up. And then I tore a ligament in my knee that summer when I was training. Ooh. And it was going to be a four month before I could actually play again. So I think at that point there, it was kind of like, maybe, I don't know if it was a sign or what, but I was training and, you know, and just tweaked it. And I had to get a little surgery to kind of clean up that cartilage. And he said 4 months before you could start skating. And it was already July at that point. So I had already been kind of a little bit behind the eight ball. And so that kind of made that final decision. I called Ryan. I said, hey, listen, I want to be upfront and honest. And if I do come back, I'm going to have to sit out for at least a month. And I mean, he was still on board with it, but I just felt that, hey, listen, if I can't give it 110%, you know, I don't want to let the team down by, you know, going over there when there's a chance of maybe getting someone else in that could, you know, fill that void.
I remember from our chats when you were over here, you were a big football fan. This is when some of our listeners will maybe switch off going into the football field here. I remember you were a big Rangers fan as well. Do you still follow the team?
Oh, yeah, I do. I do a lot. I have a TV package where, you know, I follow them a lot. And I watch, you know, if it's not the Rangers, I'll watch the Celtics in the Champions League. You know, any Scotland team I'll root for, you know, especially when they're playing the English, you know, and it was heartbreaking for me watching the World Cup qualifiers there and, you know, seeing them fall short again. But to be honest, I think I'm more of a footballer fan than I am a hockey fan at the moment. I watch more soccer than I do than I do hockey. So,
well, you've certainly gained the misery of a Scotsman, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm like, oh well, yeah. I always pick the teams that are just heartbreaking. So,
you were inducted to the Brayhead Clan Wall of Fame for your contribution in 2013-14. When you think back, what was your reaction when you heard you were being awarded this by the club?
To me, it was a huge honor. I mean, it was a really big deal. I mean, it was something that when I saw the pictures and the banner put up, I was, you know, really touched by it because it showed me that they appreciated me just as much as I appreciated them in everything that, you know, I admired and enjoyed about the club, and I felt kind of that love back. And when I was inducted, I mean, it was a real big honor for me, and I was very proud to be part of that, because there's a lot of guys up there that, you know, rightfully deserved to be up there, and for me, just being there a year and getting that kind of recognition, it definitely made me proud for sure.
So that's nearly 4 years on since you left Brayhead and ultimately retired as an ice hockey player. What are you up to now? What are you doing with your life nowadays?
Well, I started, got into the firefighting career. I've been a full-time firefighter here for 2 years. And, you know, it's the closest thing you'll get to being around the dressing room. And everyone says, what's the biggest part you miss when you retire from hockey? And it's being around the guys without a question. And this is the closest kind of camaraderie you'll get, you know, being around guys and hanging around the locker rooms and stuff. So I've really enjoyed that part of it and, you know, kind of going out in the community. And as well, I coach my kids hockey and I still do hockey camps and still involved. And, you know, every once in a while I go out for men's soccer and embarrass myself.
Well, my next question was, do you miss it? And you've just clearly said that you do. But let me just finish with this one. And I think you've already answered this, but let's ask it again. Looking back, what would you be your favourite memory from your time at Brayhead Clan?
I think my favourite time would be the last game of the year. We won that quarterfinal, and I got to bring my two boys on the ice. And kind of, you know, had them on my shoulders and waved to the crowd. And it was, you know, my last game in the Brayhead arena and, you know, just getting the picture with all the guys. And there was a bunch of guys' kids in the picture. And that's something I'll never forget. I remember skating around with my boys and waving to the crowd and all the fans are waving and smiling at my boys and just looking at my boys, seeing how excited I was. And it definitely was an emotional time. And it was definitely the highlight of my year.
Just to ask about your boys, if you don't mind, you know, they're obviously bigger now. You said to me before we started recording, you dug out their old Brayhead Clan jerseys and they're a little too small for them now.
Yeah.
You know, do they recollect their time in Glasgow with you when you were here?
Yeah, they do. They still remember. I mean, they still sing the song, the Brayhead Clan song when they come out for warm-up, because that was their thing. And every time that you know, hockey's on, they'll ask you, Dad, do we get Brayhead Clan on this TV? And, you know, so it's something that, and that was real important to me. I wanted to play at least long enough where they could kind of remember something. And for them to remember the time in Scotland is, you know, is priceless. And it's actually really funny because they remember Scotland so well because every time it rains here, they're like, oh, Dad, it feels like we're in Scotland. And I just start laughing. So I'm like, oh, they still remember. They still remember. So, I mean, that part I love because it's funny. As soon as it's, you know, it's raining or it's foggy out, they're like, Dad, it looks like Scotland. And so it's – I want to go back, and my plan is to at least go back with the kids, you know, eventually and kind of maybe, you know, make a trip of it.
That was Ed McGrain, Clans number 9 in season 2013-14, talking to me about his time at the club. Before we go, just a bit of news that defenceman Michael Gutvald is out injured for the next 4 weeks, as announced by the club earlier this week. It's the latest injury blow to John Tripp ahead of this weekend's three games, with Tyler Shattuck still out of the lineup and Craig Peacock likely to miss all three as well. The coach is naturally disappointed to lose yet another player from his already depleted lineup, but has called on his team to rally around ahead of a big weekend in the hunt for a playoff place when he spoke to the Clan website earlier this week. He said it's yet another addition to the ever-growing list of injuries we are accumulating, with Peacock and Shattuck already sitting out. Losing Gutvald is a big blow. We've struggled all year with injuries and have rarely had a full lineup, but we've continued to pull together and we want to build on our two wins over Dundee. The full article can be found on the Clan website, brayheadclan.com. On more positive news, Brayhead Clan will have a special guest in attendance when former Air Scottish Eagles coach Jim Lynch will be in attendance in the week when it was 20 years since his team won the Super League as part of a Grand Slam year for the club. And I'm sure many of the Ayr and Prestwick based fans will be glad to see him in a rink one more time. That's it for Clan Chat this week. Don't forget to pick up your tickets for Friday's game against Fife Flyers. That's a 7:30 face-off, and Saturday's meeting with Coventry Blaze, face-off 7 p.m. So check out brayheadclan.com as Operation Playoffs continues. For other news around the club, like the official Facebook page or follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Brayhead Clan. Also keep an eye out on social media channels to see if we'll have live audio from the two home games as well. But as we draw to a close, I want to extend my thanks to Matt Keith, Cameron Burt, Zach Sullivan, Adam Brace and Ed McGrain for their time this week. My thanks to you for listening and downloading, and of course thanks to Stuart Priest, the producer who's put this together. You've been listening to Clan Radio, sponsored by Wellwood Communications. That's all for this edition. Bye for now.